We are back in Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119, starting in verse 25, is the fourth letter, I believe, right? Yeah, the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Daleth. I think I'm saying that right, aren't I? Daleth. And let's read it. Psalm 119, verse 25 through 32. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And let's pray, and then we'll get into this verse by verse. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you again for this morning that we can be here. And I pray for your grace and your help, your mercy, as I endeavor to open your word. Help me to keep my train of thought and to speak clearly. Father, that we would all be blessed and encouraged by your word. Father, that we would be challenged by it, that our hearts would continue to be molded, that we would be made more into the image of Christ, that your word would wash us and cleanse us. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I spent a bit of time this week going back and forth on this one. My first inclination was that the phrase, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, was a euphemism for being close to death. And his prayer was for continued life. But as I thought about it, the spiritual application became stronger and stronger. During the time when this psalm would have been written, as far as I know, there was no clear promises for life, either physical or spiritual life. The nation of Israel was promised life and blessing if they served God, and death and cursing if they forsook him. But to find a verse where an individual could claim as a promise of continued life, I struggle to see that, I'll be honest. Though a promise of spiritual life is also not clearly found there, the content of it is. And you find that through the Psalms, they all spoke of it. Even through the rest of this psalm, every other time the word quicken is used, except for one, all the other times it's used very clearly in a spiritual sense. There's one time where, just like this, it's a little vague, a little hard to discern what it would be. But the more I study this, and for these reasons, I am inclined to believe that the psalmist was here acknowledging his human tendencies toward earthly things, and asking to be made alive to spiritual things. I think that that's the interpretation of this. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. In this part of the world, people put dust on their heads when they were mourning. And I think this expression, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, ties in that idea of sorrow as well. Here we have a man who acknowledges his inclination toward earthly things, but he uses the most sorrowful expression possible and then requests to be made alive according to the promises of God. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And my last reason for believing that this is spiritual, taking a spiritual interpretation of this verse, is that it goes with the context of the rest of these verses that we are going to look at. And it actually helps to explain the next verse. In verse 26, we have, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. I have declared my ways. We have in Proverbs 26:13 a well-known verse. We read, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In verse 25, he confesses his inclination towards earthly things, and he says, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And now he looks toward God in faith and says, I acknowledged, and you heard me. He has that confidence that he was heard. And then he says, Teach me thy statutes. Being made alive in verse 25 and being taught God's statutes in verse 26 are almost the same thing. Almost the same thing. And this correlation tells us that when he asks to be taught God's statutes, he's not asking for a head knowledge of what they are, but he is rather asking for the strength to learn them in practice. He says, Make me alive. And then he says, Teach me thy statutes. This man wanted a living knowledge. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. But not only is this, I have declared my ways, a reference to the confession in verse 25, I think it also refers back to his other commitments. When he says in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. And in verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. In verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. This is the path that he has chosen and that he had confessed to God. This man confessed his weakness and he unswervingly committed to following God. And then he says, God, you heard me when I confessed my sin. God, you heard me when I committed to following you. And now I ask one thing. Give me the grace and strength to live your statutes. The justified man always desires to be sanctified. When you are forgiven and you know it, you find a strong desire to live in victory. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. I think the most incredible part of this verse are these four words, and thou heardest me. And these four words are especially incredible because of the prayer that comes immediately after. Teach me thy statutes. If this man had confessed his sin, and God had immediately removed all sin from him, and he had absolute and complete victory, he would have had no reason to pray, Teach me thy statutes. This man's confidence that God had heard him was not that God had already finished the task. This man had confidence that God had heard his prayer because he knew who God was and he had trusted the promises of God. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We see through the Bible that talking about the works of God is of great importance. In Psalm 71, we start in verse 15 and we read, My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. And that's an interesting verse itself. He says, My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I don't know how many days I'm going to have. Therefore, every day I do have, this is how I spend it. Let me read that again. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Psalm 71, verses 15 through 18. In Psalm 51, 13, David says, talking about when he is restored, he says, Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I could go on for quite some time talking about all these times, especially, this is one of the themes in the book of Psalms. The psalmists continually talking about God's righteousness and His goodness. And we have it in Psalm 119:27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Talking about the works of God is a vital part of the Christian life. But I want to look deeper at this verse and enter into the connection between learning God's precepts and talking about God's works. Because on the surface, you might just notice this as, oh, it's obvious. You got to know about something to talk about it. But what's interesting here is that he does not say, make me to understand thy wondrous works so that I shall talk about thy wondrous works. He says, make me to understand thy precepts so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Help me to understand what I am supposed to do. The precepts are what apply to us. That's what dictates our lifestyle. Help me to understand what I am supposed to do. Then I will talk about what you do. And here we enter into a spiritual truth that I don't think can be completely paralleled in the things of this life. If I wanted to tell others about some man from history, if I wanted to tell others about George Washington, I would say to you, teach me about George Washington so that I can teach other people. But if I want to teach people about God, I go to God and I say, make me to understand thy precepts. Then I will tell others about your works. There's another contrast here. In verse 26, he confessed his own ways. He says, I have declared my ways. And now he prays that he might understand God's ways. There are many people who are captivated by the story of Jesus, and they love to talk about what He did, but they know nothing about living the precepts of God. What those people say are dead and powerless words. And many times they completely misinterpret the story because they're dead to spiritual things and cannot discern the smallest spiritual truth. The truth is, the order that this verse has it is the only order it can be done. It does not work to be taught about God and then teach others without being taught the precepts, without being taught how we are to live. There are many people who desire to know the ins and the outs of prophecy. When is Jesus returning? When is He this? What's going to happen in the future? And they're fascinated by prophecy. But they care nothing for the precepts of God of how we are to live. And sometimes these people want to come and they want to teach you about prophecy. This is what I learned. Jesus is coming here. And everything they say is empty words because they don't know the precepts. They don't know how they are supposed to live when they get up in the morning until they go to bed at night. This man who wrote Psalm 119 had it right. He said, "Teach me thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." This needs to be the way we view it as well. Another interesting thing here is when it comes to earthly things, most of what we call wonders, wonderful things, we talk about the wonders of the ancient world. And what makes them wonders is that we don't understand them. If we knew how the pyramids were built, they wouldn't be a wonder. We would just say, "Oh, that's how they did it. Cool." The wonders of the ancient world are because we don't understand it. But here, when it comes to God, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." The more we understand God, the more we will wonder. If we understand the wonders of this earth, we don't wonder about them anymore. But the more we understand about God, the more we will wonder. Verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." And I think everyone here can relate to the picture. My soul melteth for heaviness. We have this a couple times in Scripture. It was used of the men of Israel when they were smote by the men of Ai. In Joshua 7:5, "And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads." My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. And today we must examine our hearts and ask, what do I look to when my soul melteth for heaviness? The world drowns their sorrow in alcohol or smokes it out with drugs. And Christians aren't likely to do those kind of things. But they do things to escape from reality. And they turn to other things besides the Word of God when their soul melts. And this is not good. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. This is the only place a Christian should go. Yet, many Christians turn to movies and novels or just bury their time on the internet because their heart, their soul is in sorrow. But we need to look to God knowing that He is the only answer. God can heal our hurts and give us strength to live day by day. And God can change our circumstances if He so chooses. But I want you to also notice here that He does not get stuck here. The psalmist does not spend the next 47 verses trying to convince God to change his circumstances. He simply prays, God, give me strength as you promised. And then he moves on in faith that God heard him. And this is the way a Christian should deal with a melting life. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Then let me read verses 29 and 30 together. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I find it interesting that out of all the sins he could mention, he mentions lying. Maybe this was a besetting sin for him, but I think even more likely, lying is mentioned because lying is a very sneaky little thing. And I think to some extent he's almost using it to represent a larger picture. We have in James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now James is not talking about lying specifically, but lying would be included in what James said. And I think this idea is why lying is the one sin picked out in Psalm 119:29. Especially when we consider that it says the way of lying. I want you to imagine two roads, one called truth and the other called lies. The road called truth is going to be full of righteousness and holiness. The road called lies is going to be full of every other vice. This man did not say, God, I want to keep my sin except lying. That one gets me in trouble sometimes. This man said, remove from me the way of lying. God, take lying and everything that is possibly associated with that road, with that life, with that everything. Remove from me the way of lying. And then he finishes by saying, grant me thy law graciously. And we've come to this sort of content a few times, but it strikes me once again, the content of his request. Take lying and give me thy law. How many of us, when we went to God and asked for a blessing, would make this request? If we went to God to ask for a blessing, might we ask for money? Maybe we would ask for health or friends. What would we ask for? But would we ask for the ability to keep God's law? When you come to God and ask for a blessing, what do you ask for? Is your heart this in tune with the Word of God that you find that the blessing that you first desire to ask for is the ability to keep God's law. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. As we have seen a number of times already, and we will continue to see as we go through this psalm, this man did not just ask for something flippantly and then never strive for it himself. The man who prayed, "Remove from me the way of lying," in verse 29 says, "I have chosen the way of truth," in the very next verse. And this is a pattern for us as to how we are to make spiritual commitments. Don't just ask without a commitment, and certainly don't commit without prayer. When the psalmist says, "Thy judgment have I laid before me," he is giving us details of how he chose the way of truth. If you're going to choose the way of truth, you're going to have to do something. And this is what you do. You lay God's judgments before you. First, you'll lay God's judgments before you as a book, and you'll read them. Then you'll lay God's judgments before you as a road, and you'll walk it. And you can put God's judgments before you as a target to aim at. An example to copy. The way of truth is nothing that can be chosen by a flippant and careless New Year's resolution. If you choose the way of truth, you're going to have to exercise yourself to keep the judgments of God laid out before the eyes of your mind. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. In verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. This makes me think of the words of Moses. Deuteronomy 4, verses 3 and 4. Moses says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." And in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." And in Acts 11, Barnabas was sent out, and this is the message that he was sent preaching. But let me just read verses 11 through 22. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." But this verse that we're looking at in Psalms today is even more specific than these examples. Because it does not just say, "I have stuck to the Lord." He says, "I have stuck to the Lord's testimonies." We need to stick to the Word and the Word alone. We do not mix the truth of the Bible with anything. When we need answers, we look for them nowhere but the Word of God. When we need to be saved, we look for no path but the way of the Bible. We stick to the Bible alone as our only rule of faith and practice. The world looks on in scorn. The world looks on in contempt. But let us not mind the way they look at us, but let us pray this prayer and say with the psalmist, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. This is a phrase, and we use it a lot. Stick to it. This man was able to say confidently, I stuck to it. I stuck to thy testimonies. When other people are quitting, when people told me to quit, when people told me it wasn't enough, when people said I needed more than just the word, I stuck to thy testimonies. We need to be able to say that with the psalmist. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. And then the last verse of this section. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Through these verses, we have looked at ways a bit. We have looked at the way of thy precepts. Remove from me the way of lying. I have chosen the way of truth. And now he adds vigor and energy and he says, I will run the way of thy commandments. His path is picked out and there is no stopping him. This is where my energy is going. This is where my life is going. I will run the way of thy commandments. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 we read, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I think it's fair to call the large heart here spiritual energy. He has determined to run, but he recognizes that it's not possible without divine help. And I love the way he says, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Not if, but when. This resonates with verse 26 when he says, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. And now he says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He has that same confidence. I also want to point out a contrast between verse 25 and verse 32. In verse 25, he starts out by saying, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And in verse 32, he ends by saying, I will run the way of thy commandments. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And it's not to be repented of. When you start out confessing your sin and sorrowing over it, you can finish by running and not being weary. When you start out confessing your inclination towards earthly things, you can finish with this confidence and say, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Run and not be weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is a very precious promise and well known. But I have a question that I want to put to you because I never thought of it until I put this verse alongside this psalm. If you are waiting on God, as we have in this verse, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord, shall run and not be weary. If you are waiting on God, what road are you running? Probably the way of God's commandments, right? I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that every one of us here this morning would recognize in its completeness our inclination towards earthly things, our inclination towards evil things. Father, that we would acknowledge our ways and find the confidence to believe your promises that you heard us. God, that we would be able to finish with this commitment that this psalmist made, I will run the way of thy commandments. And Father, that we would do so waiting on you and be able to run and not be weary. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that we would continue to open our hearts to it and let your word challenge us and conform ourselves to it. I pray that you would be with us the rest of today. Be with us in the next meeting. Father, that again our hearts will be open to your word. Father, for this afternoon, that everything we do, we would honor you. And as we come back this evening, be with us again, your word would again be glorified among us. Amen.